Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
They thought they'd get away with it until now. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Karen Reed, more hearings taking place as we get closer and closer to January 27th, although likely that's not going to be the actual start date, but hey, it's on paper. Of course, she's facing the retrial for the 2022 death of her boyfriend, Boston Police Officer John O'Keefe. Arguments of what should be allowed in, prosecution asking for phone records from her parents to be allowed in. The judge saying, yeah, I think that's a bit much. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, joining me to discuss. Should we have those? Do we need those, the phone records? And what's your thoughts on any other pieces here that are being asked to be excluded or brought in for round two?
Well, you know, I think I totally was in line with Brennan's argument, who's the new prosecutor. I believe that they are crucial. Remember, it was very limited in scope. They only wanted a month's worth, and it specifically they wanted to show, listen, this wasn't a pattern of behavior for Karen to call, and I know they can show that in part from her record, but the question is, what did he do with the information each time? In other words, if this ever happened before, what did he do? And what did he do this time? What were his calls? Was he calling attorneys? Was he reaching out to other people? Did he realize very early on that his daughter committed a crime here? And if they would have gotten his phone, they could have done a full extraction of anything he even tried to hide in terms of text messaging and other items that could have been so helpful for the prosecution. I was disappointed to see Cannone's ruling, but, you know, I've been disappointed in a lot of Cannone's rulings, and the defense has too. I think the bottom line is she parses out the legal elements and makes her rulings based on her interpretation of the law. And certainly she's a judge and she knows Massachusetts law better than most people judging her.
There seems like there could be some very beneficial things that could be found there. Do you think there's any way that this could be brought back in at some point in time to take a look at if the records exist? I wasn't even thinking of it from the perspectives you were talking about of what did he go look at? What was he searching for after that? Because that would very much explain what his daughter had just said to him on that phone call.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was critical that he get those, or that the Commonwealth receive those records. You know, will the door be opened? I think the Commonwealth will still call Reed, Mr. Reed. And I think they will because of his statements that he said on ABC, where he says, listen, she told me she hit something. And for people to try to extract that and say, oh, that was when she bumper tapped the vehicle, that was not in keeping with his statement.
Yeah.
And so I think they'll still call him and we'll see if he perjures himself or what he has to say. And that could open the door possibly for those records, but I think for the most part, they're off the table.
Is there anything that can be added into this case that you think will sway the Karen Reed supporters another way? That okay, look, this piece is here. This really shows, if it exists, that she hit him. Then the other way as well. Is there, I mean, obviously, if we have like video footage of him going in the house, sure. But as far as what we know that exists out there, those things don't seem to exist in terms of actual evidence. All we're going to have is accounts and people's testimony as to what they saw or did.
Well, I think what the CW has to do this go around is get the footage from ABC and NBC regarding all those interviews and admissions, and also from Gretchen Voss, mm-hmm. Who did the piece, the magazine piece, because there is a lot there in terms of inculpatory statements that she made. You know, I hit him. Well, I thought I might have ran him over on the foot, but I looked over and he certainly didn't seem like he was mortally wounded, mm-hmm. words to that effect. Those are all extremely inculpatory, that she knew she hit him, even if she thought it was a clip or just ran over his foot or all these other excuses she makes to describe what happened that night. So that's critical. And could that change the minds of some supporters? I think so. The other thing is, and to me, this is the biggest one, everyone wants to understand from a true reconstructionist how the injuries line up to that taillight being busted and him being hit by that car. What was the positioning of the arm? How can that be reconstructed to prove he was hit by the car? I think both sides of this would benefit from seeing a true reconstructionist come in, and the CW is going to do it.
Why didn't we have one first, Trent? I would think that'd be like one of the first things to do would be to reconstruct the actual scene itself.
Well, they had someone from the state, from, you know, the Massachusetts State Police, but unfortunately there were a couple things working. One, in Massachusetts, you don't get to put the reports in, right? That wasn't allowed. The jury wasn't allowed to see the detailed reconstruction report. And you had somebody on the stand that, quite frankly, seemed terrified to be on the stand.
Yes.
He wasn't well-spoken. He couldn't make, really, the words he had to say were very inadequate.
I thought we were being punked.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It was a scene from Being Punked. It didn't even seem real.
No.
And I think there were a lot of factors for that. But nevertheless, I also believe he just didn't have the education and background that many were looking for. So I think they'll get, well, they already have, you know, they will have a reconstructionist that will do a good job at explaining everything. And that's going to be critical. The other thing is that I think they need to do is they really need to get somebody to forensically look at more data on Karen Reed's phone. There's ways to analyze exactly her everything she's done, a footprint to show the kind of person she is, what she did before, what she did after. I think that is critical. And there's a team of people that can do that, but the CW is going to have to pay for it.
But what are you talking about looking for on her phone, the kind of person that she is? Are we talking like character type things or just ways that she's reacted to the crime or to the alleged crime itself?
Well, it's actual areas of statement analysis. And interestingly, I just went to a class on this and I actually was thinking, oh my gosh, this would be the perfect situation for them to look at something like this. They can actually go into your cell phone and get all your information and reconstruct your verbiage, how you act before, how you act during, how you act after. They can go into and show the exact movements. They've done some on the movements, but I want to see the whole enchilada. I want to see exactly the movements she made. They didn't really do a lot of that. We're also going to now get more information from the Lexus. I think that's critical. I think the problem with the case, the first go around, it was a good start, but it didn't have the detail that many people were looking for.
More detail on part of the prosecution, you're saying?
Yes, I think they need more detailed. I want to see more information from the Lexus. I want to see more information from the exact movements and everything Karen Reed did according to her cell phone and her actions before and during and after the crime. All of that needs to be more forensically analyzed, I believe, and presented. And then, of course, the information of her inculpatory statements that she made all over the media, all of that needs to come out.
How do you think they're going to counter the inevitable here? Obviously, some of the bad police work and the word that has been infecting so many cases, Michael Proctor. What are we going to be doing about that in terms of the prosecution and the Karen Reed side or the prosecution trying to, downplay, I guess, all of that?
I think the main thing is that they didn't do last time that I was a little critical of. And Lally, who was the prosecutor, first of all, I think he did an exceptional job. I think he's an exceptional attorney and very smart. I just think he had too much he was responsible for. Yeah. And they've recognized that to the CW, and they are loading him up with assistance and with help and with a lead in this to actually do the court presentation. But the order of proof was all messed up, in my opinion. They sort of went on the premise that, listen, we're going to debunk everything the defense is going to say. Well, people wanted to hear the case.
Yeah.
And I think this time it's going to be case heavy on facts. I mean, I think they should start out with what she said she did and show all the instances of what she said she did, her own words. And they need to follow that up with all the EMTs, the medics, the first responders, the police that said, yeah, I heard her say that.
Yeah.
And they have no reason to lie. And so then you have that followed up. So they want the hard facts and then follow that up with, oh, and by the way, there's microscopic pieces of her taillight embedded in John's shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with that. Let's go with all the and show the all the pieces of the taillight that were found in the yard at 4 a.m. And the fact that it was in the Sallyport, it doesn't line up with when anybody could have thrown it on the lawn, because they already found the pieces on the lawn before it was ever in the Sallyport. Mm-hmm. They need to do a better job with their explanations.
Yeah. And helping a jury understand it contextually, because I think it was very messed up. It was bits and pieces here and there. It was like watching one of those, like This Is Us or something, where it's like, stop going there. like just give me the story. Yeah. It was like that. I think it's kind of how they presented that story to the jury. So hopefully, contextually, it will make a little bit more sense this time.
And on the other side, to be fair, what could convince people that have looked at the facts and the overwhelming evidence to say, okay, he was beat up inside by a cop, an ATF agent, a 17-year-old, and a dog, and thrown on the front lawn. What in the world could convince people of that? I mean, they need to. The problem is they're not going to be able to, because there is no canine DNA. That's already been
done. There's pig.
There's no DNA from the fists of the ATF agent, or the fists, or saliva, or sweat. There's nothing from the players. And what's really damning is he never went in the house. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah, it is. But the damning part to that is you have shady behavior that's been found within, and that taints all of it. And that's what makes it. And I totally understand what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. But then you have the shady behavior. Then we have all of that's infected so many different places. And that's what then causes the next veil to go over that and go, well, how can we trust this? I don't think anyone's ever going to be happy at the end of this thing. And I don't think anyone's ever truly going to know exactly what took place other than Karen Reed. And I don't even know that she knows what truly happened that night. John is the one. John and a coyote is what I'm saying. I think it's John and a coyote that know truly what took place.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you what, when you talk about the police errors, it's so interesting that things that I wouldn't even consider errors are being considered errors. As an example, the videotape and the Sally Port, which again, shouldn't even be an issue because the premise is that they took this taillight, bashed it in, and then sprinkled pieces all over the lawn, right? After they were already finding pieces all over the lawn. So it makes no sense. But everybody's upset that the video footage from the Sally Port was inverted.
Yeah.
Well, they need to show that all the video in the Sally Port was inverted because that's the setting they had the video recorder on. They didn't do that. And that's a big thing. They need to show, listen, it wasn't just for this case or because, you know, the Lexus was in there. You know, they need to reset their video and not have it inverted. Just because something's inverted, though, everything's still there.
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
But, yeah, well, then once we understood what it was, yes. It's just one of those little pieces, though, that did not read well to a jury that made to go, well, what are you hiding here? Even if you're not. And that's, I think, part of the thing. Even if they're not hiding things or if they're just trying to tip the scale a little bit with something here or there, one person saying that, I mean, there's too many pieces to this that just didn't add up and didn't look very good. Getting rid of the cell phones, there's so much. And I'm still of the belief that Karen Reed hit him and it was an accident and this all should have just gone away at some point. But there's too much. There's too much and too many people acting in what they think is their own best interest. And at the end of the day, that best interest is not the truth. And that's the problem we have.
A lot of people see that side of it. But like I say, if you really look at the little pieces that they're picking at, like the solo cups, I have to laugh about that because New York, I was just told by somebody that New York PD still uses solo cups.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
One person can get very upset and go, that's crazy. Other than go, well, actually, no, this is pretty normal. And it is. I mean, so there's no sense to make things more exaggerated than they are that some people do. I totally hear you there.
Yeah, it's not perfect.
No.
It wasn't something I would do, but it's not, you know, instrumentally tainting this case when it comes down to the real facts here.
So. I hear you. I do hear you. And I completely agree. There's just too much movement and that's the problem with it. Too much seems to have issue where I don't know that we're ever going to get back down to true facts in this case, but I hope we do. I hope we do for the sake of O'Keefe and the family and that community that needs to find some sort of way to come back together and not want to kill each other.
I don't think they're going to come back together until the next generation.
I agree.
And that's a maybe. I mean, I'm serious. What they have done to reputations and to a belief system down there, it's horrible.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.